All right, nice to be with you as we get ready for game two of the Giants and A's in this first Bay Bridge series. An amazing game last night, 8-7. Who knows what the mosaic will look like in 2020, but 21 games down, 8-7 A's last night in a crazy, crazy end of the game. And joining us, Adam Copeland is with us and Kerry Crowley as well. Guys, how are you?
I'm good,
buddy.
It's good to be with you. Yeah, right. Me too. I was like, I don't know if I should let Kerry go or if I should go, but I'm doing good, Marty. It's actually the first time I've heard you say the mosaic over a 60-game season. I'm thinking these tiles are a little bigger this year than what we're used to, right? It's not really bathroom tile. It's like big kitchen tile, maybe.
I know. And Kerry said, you know, he counts it down when he puts the defense out there. He says 21 down, 39 to go. So I figured at this point we got to start getting a little bit of what a picture may look like. So, Kerry, I'll start with you, just an easy one. A little bit of the picture, and I know we may have touched on this in our first segment, but a little bit of the picture. Give me a bright side of the picture.
It's hard for me to do that right now, Marty, but I think you have to go with the guys that Farhan Zaidi found last year in Mike Yastrzemski and Donovan Solano and the way that they've produced at the top of the order. Donovan Solano's 16-game hit streak, which is really, really rare in Major League Baseball these days. You just don't see double-digit hit streaks with relievers throwing 98 and more pitchers in the game. And then Mike Yastrzemski, with the way he's slugging the ball, Marty, slugging percentage over 600 right now. He had a rookie year where the slugging percentage was over 500. And to put that in perspective, Brandon Belt, in his 10-year Major League career, has never had a slugging percentage above 476. And so the way that Yastrzemski's driving the ball is what Giants fans have hoped for so long that Belt would look like at the plate. And so to see that from an outfielder, to see that from an everyday player, he's got to be the leading bright spot.
Well, you guys know what they say in a 60-game season, you're going to win six, or you're going to win 20, you're going to lose 20. It's what you do with your third 20 that really defines the kind of team you are. And I was looking over some of the numbers this week, Kerry, with the offense, because I think we can all agree that this is a team that can hit. They're a productive offense. Mm-hmm. They can move the line up and down. I can't really decide, and I know the bullpen numbers are not very good. Some of the starting pitching has been good. Is this a good pitching team, or is it a team with gaping holes that are in the bullpen, and because the starting pitching has gone so short or not so deep into games, it's been exposed?
You know, Adam, I really tend to think it's the latter, and I kept telling myself during the first 2 weeks of the season that things were going to get better when starting pitchers were going to go more than 80 pitches into these games. And, you know, Johnny Cueto, Kevin Gausman, Logan Webb, they've all looked good at times this season. Cueto looked excellent in his outing on Friday against the Oakland A's. But the bullpen issues haven't disappeared. You know, the bullpen was only asked to cover six outs on Friday night. Tony Watson got three of them in seven pitches, but Trevor Gott couldn't finish them off. And it's been so inconsistent that it just feels like there's way too many holes and there's way too many games where the Giants will hold their opponent to one, two, or three runs the first five or six innings, and then it's a blow-up. It's a meltdown, and all of a sudden the opponent has seven or eight on the board.
Kerry, has any veteran kind of cemented his position for next year? Now, I realize Belton Crawford's still under contract. Posey will as well. But can you see anyone? Can you say, okay, you know, this is an aberration. 2021, hopefully it'll be a real season. Can you see a veteran coming back and saying, okay, I'm going to reclaim my spot?
Johnny Cueto would be the guy, because none of the hitters have done it for me. I think Buster Posey will walk back in and reclaim his spot by virtue of the Giants committing so much to him and having so much faith in him and not bringing Joey Bart up. There's no question to me. They still view Buster Posey very much as the catcher of the present. But, he's not on the field. And so if Johnny Cueto is not traded at this year's deadline or not traded at the offseason, then I think that he will return as the opening day starter next season. And there's reason to believe he can continue to be very effective into his late 30s, Marty. I mean, this is someone who has never really relied on a truly above average velocity fastball. And so to see him do what he did on Friday night against the tough A's lineup, throw the slider, throw the changeup, and use them both for strikes, a very encouraging sign for the Giants moving forward. It's what can they build behind him in the rotation that's a big question.
You know, and Marty asked about the trade situation, or you mentioned the trade situation potentially with Cueto. Are we going to see that? And I know that, you know, Kevin Gausman seems like maybe that's the obvious one just because he was signed to a one-year deal. But when he got pulled out of that game last week, and Gabe Kapler's response to that was that they wanted to keep him healthy to maximize the number of starts he could make, I'm thinking, maximize starts? There's only 60 games in this season, and we're halfway through almost. So Are they looking to keep him healthy so that they can move him? Is that really on the table, do you think?
I think everything's on the table at this point. You know, someone asked me this week for a mailbag story I wrote for the Bay Area News Group. Would the Giants consider trading any of their veterans? Yes, they'd consider trading all of them if they got a phone call on them. I just don't think that these are players who are in high demand right now around the league. And I think that Farhan and Scott have a little bit of leverage at them, and that they can, you know, eat some of this salary. The Giants can pay down the rest of these contracts, and the Giants can free up opportunities on the diamond where veterans have been taking down reps for so long and taking down starts for the past several years. But I just don't think that a market has developed yet, and maybe that will change for a Gausman. Maybe that will change for a Cueto, but I don't think it will change for the position players.
Boy, interesting. Kerry, we'll let you run. I know you got work to do, and we'll chat with you tomorrow morning.
All right. Thanks so much, Marty, and have a good one, Adam.
Okay, that is Kerry Crowley off to do some more of his work. You can follow him at KO_Crowley on Twitter. Adam, last night was one of those games. You know, it was the Giants game the whole way. You know, 6-0, Longoria punches that base hit, knocks Lizardo out. Cueto, 7 great innings, gives up a couple of runs late. Watson, 6 pitches, he's out of the 8th inning, and then all of a sudden it happened. Isn't it amazing?
The comeback we're talking? Are we talking about the meltdown, Marty?
Well, a little bit of both. You know, just the way it ended last night.
Well, you know, it's... I don't think the Giants are a very good baseball team, and I think people understand that. We've seen bright spots. You were asking Kerry, you know, to shine a lot on a light on one of the positive elements of the team, and I think really the team's offense is pretty good. I think that they found some hitters. You know, we talked for all of last season, I think, about when is Farhan going to find the Max Muncys or the Chris Taylors or the, you know, the ancillary pieces that they found with the Dodgers, not the Bellingers or the Mookie Bettses necessarily, but the pieces that made the Dodgers a complete ball club. And I think Mike Yastrzemski is that guy. I think Donovan Solano can be those guys that are cogs in a winning team. But I think that when you're a bad baseball team, and this works for any sport too, you find ways to lose ball games. And yesterday it was the defense. And you know how it works with bad defense, and we've seen it for the last week and a half or so, Marty. It compounds on itself. When you start giving extra outs to teams, and good teams like the A's, who've got the best record in baseball, they're going to take advantage of it, and they'll make you pay. I mean, you've seen this for years, that bad teams will find ways to lose ball games. And last night, I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I think so. I thought Gott got rattled a little bit. And he's still a very young closer. He's got 4 saves and really has never been the guy before, just like Rodgers right now has been put into that position. And I think
Marty,
that's something
Go
ahead.
I want to ask you about Trevor Gott real quick, just your thought on this. And I was kicking this around with some buddies last night over text. What's your thought on when you bring a closer into a situation when it's not a save situation? Now, I know when you're the home team, that's sometimes okay, but then he pitched himself into it. But your thoughts on a guy being in a mindset for a certain role and then being put into a role that's not necessarily that role?
Well, he's a major leaguer, and he hadn't worked. And, you know, you've got to, you know, stay in rhythm and get your work done. So you've got a 7-2 lead, and you figure, okay, just throw strikes, you know. And as Dave said, I think I'll probably be chatting with Dave a little bit later, no disasters here. You know, just get out of the inning. And I think he should be capable of doing that. I think if you need your work, it's like a side session. You've got a big lead. Just get in there and throw strikes. And Bill Lasky said it. Bill was terrific today. He felt that that Gott just got rattled, and he started throwing instead of pitching. And I think maybe they should have come out and talked to him, calmed him down a little bit. I think it was a learning curve for everybody last night.
Yeah, those are the moments where, you know, where a pitching coach and a manager are crucial. And I feel like those are the spots that the Giants are struggling with right now, which are the coachable moments, right? The moments where they've made defense mistakes or defensive errors and it compounds on them, or a moment where a pitching coach needs to go out and settle a guy down like you're talking about. I think that's maybe an element that the Giants have had, the between the ears managing they've had down, sort of down pat, it seems like, for maybe the last decade or so with Bruce Bochy, and it's much different now. We're trying to adjust to these new changes.
Yeah, I mean, Dave Rigetti comes out, Kurt Young comes out, Bochy comes out. I don't think you just leave the guy standing there to give up the slam. I just don't think so. So I think that was part of the learning curve for Kapler last night as well. The Giants did announce this week they're going to put the names on the back of the home jerseys. Are you a favor of that, or are you a traditionalist?
I'm out on that, Marty. I've always liked that the Giants, when they moved to at the time, Pacto Park in 2000, I always thought that that was cool. It was like a, it was an old, like, Blue Bloods National League, or even just Blue Bloods of baseball type thing to me. The Yankees don't have them on their back at home. I'm okay with it on the road, but I've always liked the idea that we've got smart baseball fans in San Francisco and our fans know who the players are. Now, if we're going to poke a little fun, been a lot of changes on this roster, and sometimes day after day you don't know who's on the roster. So maybe that's a little more beneficial for the home fans. I've always liked the clean look of just the, you know, the Lincecum 55 with no name, or the Barry 25 with no name. That was cool to me. It sort of changed when the ballpark came about. So I liked when they didn't do it. At one point, the Dodgers, I think, moved to no names on the back, and then they went back to the names. So I don't know. I guess it's to each their own. I'm not a fan of it. I like the home jerseys as they are now.
Yeah, and I always said, if you want to see the names, buy a scorecard. But that's when scorecards were 25 cents. You know, now, you know, it costs you $5 and you know, you don't even get a pencil. So,
dude, Marty, you beat me to the punch. I was going to say, you go and you buy one, and now it's in the middle of a program and you don't even get you got to bring your own ink or your own pencil and eraser, man. That's exactly
it. So I could see, you know, where they're concerned about the casual fan who tunes in for 20 minutes and you want to, you know the players and all that. Whatever. It's okay. It's okay.
Whatever. That's it. Whatever.
Yeah, that's the least of our worries. Hey, Gausman, in the notes today, his strikeout to walk ratio 23-2, 11.50. That is only trails Atlee Hammaker, Marischal, and Tim Hudson for a minimum of four appearances, but pretty good for Kevin Gausman.
I'm impressed by him. You know, he's one of the guys. He and Tyler Anderson were two names where there were guys with not huge track records, but they had some success at the big league level. And I think those were the types of gambling pieces that Farhan was going to take a risk on this year, kind of like he did with Pomeranz last year, and he got a little bit out of him. And maybe if this were a full season, it would be more likely we'd be hearing trade talk around Kevin Gausman just because of the one-year deal. I'm impressed by him. Murph this week, he and I were talking, he keeps calling him Jason Schmidt. I think it's just because he pitches so well off of that changeup, and he really can just kind of throw those two, the changeup and the fastball. And when you've got two pitches like that, we saw it with Tim Lincecum. We used to see it with Schmidt, Matt Cain. Those two pitches can be devastating. A changeup off of a really good fastball, and he's pumping it up there at 99. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him go deep into a ball game again, and I know he wants to himself.
Well, tell Murph that's a very good call that I approve.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Please tell him that, because he's taking shots. He took some shots of me this week, so tell him I like what he said. Tell him that.
I'll pass that on. I will.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break. We do have a This Day in Baseball History that you and I could talk about when we come back. But it involves the A's of 1980 and all the complete games. When you hear this Day in Baseball History, you'll be amazed at what went on in baseball. But we'll set it up. We'll talk some more with Adam when we come back right after this. All right, back here on our pregame. Adam, you know, years ago I did this Day in Baseball History, and baseball has changed so much that when Raf went in the archives for August 15th, I said, Raf, let's play this one. Matt Kehoe tells a story, and it's a story of complete games of 1980, and Billy Martin is the manager, and the A's just go absolutely nuts with the complete games. So this is what happened on August 15th, 1980.
Hey fans, this is Marty Lurie with This Day in Baseball History. On August 15th, 1980, the Oakland A's' Rick Langford, a tough right-handed pitcher, defeated the Seattle Mariners 11-3 for his 17th consecutive complete game. Rick Langford's streak of complete games was the most since Hall of Famer Robin Roberts of the Phillies went the distance 20 consecutive times in 1953. Teammate Matt Kehoe, who had 20 complete games that year, remembers how steady Langford was.
He really was, and it wasn't just a one-year thing. Rick had a couple years where he pitched, I think he averaged almost 9 innings a game for 27 or 28 games, counting extra inning games, and people today, they don't even think that's, they think it's funny.
So many complete games in a row. Was there any issue, and was there a question, well, should he or shouldn't he?
Well, no, not for Rick, because Rick basically kept his pitch count down very low. He was very efficient. He didn't walk many people, and he pitched to, you know, low counts and low pitch totals, and was a very, very fierce competitor and one of the fastest and best athletes on our team.
You know, you were on that team as well, and 20 complete games for you, 24 for Mike Norris. When you guys got the ball, there was no question. When you got it, you expected to go the game.
No, and it was almost a pride factor where we all fed off each other. We had 11 inning complete games, and we had 14 inning complete games involved in that whole thing. So, you know, when they say complete games, they don't mean just 9 innings. So we had, you know, other ones besides 9 inning complete games.
Tell me about Billy Martin and his influence in that and using you guys in that way.
He just felt that we were good athletes. Our deliveries were fairly sound, and we tried to keep our pitch totals down. We didn't have much strength in the bullpen, and we usually got day offs because that's when Oakland used to get day offs with Charlie Finley's schedule, and we knew we were going to win. We were going to have to pitch complete games, and everybody wants to win.
Of course, the strain on the arm is always something that you look back and say, well, should we or shouldn't we? And when you look back on it now, what's your feeling?
Well, I had 20 complete games, but I only pitched 250 innings. You know, in the old days, I'm sure Mr. Roberts probably pitched probably 300-plus innings that year. So I really don't think that was much of a factor, and the weather in Oakland was cool, so you weren't worn down. My arm getting hurt was a freak accident in the mud on a muddy mound, and I think, you know, you can make a case that Langford got worn out throwing sliders, but then you can make a case that Oro Hershiser and Valenzuela pitched more than we did at the same period of time. I mean, they pitched more innings and they higher pitch counts, so it's just a matter if you want to win, you're going to do it.
Do you ever think we'll see something like this ever again, knowing pitchers today?
No. DiMaggio's streak will go down. We already saw Roos go down, and 94 complete games in one season by a staff will never be done again.
All right, Matt Kehoe, you were there. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Rick Langford pitched 22 consecutive complete games before his streak ended in Texas September the 16th. He went 19-12 in 1980 and led the league with 28 complete games in 33 starts and 290 innings pitched. Rick Langford started 117 games between 1979 and 1982. He completed 75. He retired in 1986 with a lifetime record of 73-106 and an earned run average of 4.01. A true Iron Man and a favorite of A's manager Billy Martin. This is Marty Lurie. Join me tomorrow for another day in baseball history.
Boy, amazing. Adam, how do you like that?
That's bananas. 22 consecutive complete games. First of all, 28 for the season is nuts. And Mike Norris goes 24 and Matt Keogh goes 20. He was talking about unbreakable records. We always talked about, you know, the DiMaggio 56 game hit streak or Johnny Vandermeer throwing back to back no hitters. Nobody's going to throw three in a row. I don't think anybody's throwing 23 consecutive
no.
complete games anytime soon. And Marty, how about this? The other thing about it is he only threw two shutouts. Did Rick Langford that season? So this was more about you've got the stuff, you've got it in the tank. You can go out and finish the ball game, finish what you started. That's something we hear Mike Krukow talk about a lot.
You know, it's funny because Matt Kehoe said they didn't have a great bullpen, which they didn't. So the starter stayed in, a little bit like the Giants right now. Maybe Gausman, Cueto, and whoever else you want to throw in this starting rotation here will get a little bit more leeway from Gabe Kapler.
Well, I think one thing we have seen from Kapler is he did say before the season that with the starting pitchers, they're going to have to earn the right to go out there, right? They're going to have to earn, like, obviously they had to build up their arms a little bit first and they were putting them on the pitch count, but I think he was ready to let them go. I think now he's letting them. We saw Cueto go. He was efficient last night, but he pitched into the seventh, of course. I think Logan Webb is the next one we want to see go some distance, right? I'd like to see Logan Webb get into a sixth inning and get some outs. Maybe get into a seventh inning. He's the one I'm most excited about for the future of the rotation because he appears to be a guy now in his second season at the big league level who can be a mainstay. I think he's at worst maybe a three in the rotation right now.
Hey, how about Donovan Solano in the lineup? He's hitting 16 straight now. And, you know, you watch the games, he does barrel it up. He really does. These are not cheap hits.
No, he hits a lot of singles. He hits a lot of balls in the gap. He's the type of hitter who's capable of putting together a hit streak like this because he doesn't hit for tons of power, and he battles, Marty. I love at bats with him where he goes deep because he can foul some pitches off. He's not a bad ball hitter like Pablo will swing at some bad pitches, but he battles up there, and I think that's why he puts good wood on the ball when he gets a pitch squared up because he's waiting for his pitch. He knows they talk a lot about the swing tunnel. I think he's very acutely aware of what his swing tunnel is, and frequently he's barreling balls up because he's swinging at the same pitch in the same part of the zone.
You think the Giants shake off last night and just come out, and it depends what's on the mound and all that, the old baseball adage, you know, you forget about it and just come out tomorrow and play the game?
Yeah, I mean, you said it earlier, you know, about Trevor Gott. These are big leaguers. I think they're bummed about it. I think you think about it last night, you wake up and feel a little peeved, and then you get back out there and you get after it again. You know, and you got a lefty on the hill, so you weren't going to get Brandon Belt out there at first base. So, you know, some of the managing has been questionable for me. Some decisions that are made in game and maybe even out of game with how they announce who's going to be the pitcher that day. At least they announced the rotation for this, but I'd like to think they shake it off. How about you? You think that, I mean, they're big leaguers. You got to play more. You know what I mean? You got more games than that.
I think so. I think every game is different, and it depends on your starting pitcher. Your momentum is today's starting pitcher. And this guy with 2 walks, 23 strikeouts, he's pitched well against the A's before. He obviously has a pitch that Oakland does not hit well, and he keeps the ball up in the strike zone with high velocity. They try to launch everything. So if he can stay away from the home runs, but look, Kevin Gausman has never quite made it. He was a high draft pick of the Orioles. He's out of LSU. The arm is fabulous. And maybe, as you've said and other people have said, Kerry said, maybe bullpen is where he ends up. But you're as good as today's pitcher. And if he gives you what he's given the last couple of days, I think it should become an interesting game again. They should have won last night easily. And tonight, even with Manaea, the left-hander, they have a good shot to win tonight.
Well, they beat up Lizardo yesterday, which I was impressed with, just because I've seen Lizardo pitch a lot. We saw him last year in relief a bunch. This year he has been nails, and maybe it was moving him up a little bit. Maybe it was that he wasn't – I mean, I don't know when he was told he was going to make the start yesterday, but they came ready to play. You know, they switched pitchers up on him, and the Giants came ready to hit yesterday. Again, I'm not really concerned about the offense. They're capable of leaving the yard. They put good wood on the ball. We saw Mike Yastrzemski go the other way with some power yesterday. It's a warm day. The ball is flying a little different at Oracle Park this year. I think there is going to be some home runs hit. That's what the A's do well. It's what the Giants have proven they can do, at least at home so far this season. So I'm with you. I think if Gausman can pitch up in the zone, and he's got to locate the high fastball, because that's the issue with pitching up is – we've heard about this with Tyler Rogers, and while he doesn't have the velocity, they're trying to get him to pitch up in the zone, so he's coming from a low arm slot, finishing at the top of the zone. But if you miss up and you miss Belt higher over the plate, that's where guys like Matt Olson and Mark Canha and Stephen Piscotty and Matt Chapman are gonna make you pay. So it's gonna be all about location, especially on a hot day where I think home runs we could see them in droves today at Oracle.
Well, we could see a few of them today. It depends on Manaea. Manaea has pitched well against the Giants in the past. And Bill Lasky said he's almost like a Samardzija now. He comes out for one inning, he's okay. Next inning, he just gets shellacked. So we'll see what he brings to the table today. He's got a very high whip. He's putting a lot of people on base. And I think with the Giants, if you get people on base, they can hit the ball, as you say, out. And I think that's the key for me today, is if they get people on base to come up with the big hit, not necessarily a home run, but to do what they did last night. Last night was a good blueprint to win. I wasn't that impressed with Lizardo last night, I must tell you the truth. I thought he struggled. I think he will be fabulous. The arm is an easy 97, 98, but I thought he struggled a little bit last night.
Oh, he definitely did. And maybe even it got squeezed a little bit. There were some calls early that I thought maybe he was getting pinched just a little bit in the strike zone. But again, those are adjustments you've just got to make at the big league level. And again, just because a guy has a bad outing, as you said, I think he's going to have a fine career. He's looked very sharp. He looked unhittable at times last year out of the bullpen. And I think he's got a big career in front of him. But just real quick on the Kevin Gausman tip, yet again, I think it's crucial for him to go deep into the game today. Just because I don't know that there's a relief pitcher that we can totally look to for trust out of the bullpen. I know Tony Watson's pretty good, but they're only going to use him in certain situations, it seems like. And so they go to Rogers a whole lot. I was joking last night. I don't know I don't know what Tyler Rogers has on Gabe Kapler, because it seems like seems like he's out there every day. But I don't know that there's guys you can trust right now in the bullpen, Marty, and that's why I think the starting pitching is all the more crucial at this point.
That'd be good. Hey, thanks for being with us. Talk to you tomorrow morning, Adam. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you then, Marty.
All right, that is Adam Copeland. All right, we're going up to the booth next and chat up there and find out a little bit about A's and Giants, Gausman and Minaya right after this.